先把这次时间交给 Karen Shu， 是这次的副领队。这次都因为他们会讲英文哈，所以在我们当中需要中文翻译的，请举手好吗？需要中文翻译的，对，耳机给他们哈，中文翻译的，为节省时间哈，让他们用英文讲。可以吗？他们还没拿到。
Okay, good morning. Hi, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Karen, and this is my 10th Taiwan mission trip. So after 10 Taiwan mission trips, you may be wondering if I have anything new to share this year, or if I'm going to share the same things as past years. To be quite honest, I had very similar thoughts before heading to Taiwan, going into this year's trip. What else was God going to show me? And what else could I learn that I haven't learned yet? And of course, the answer to that is a lot. For those of you who were here last year, you may remember my testimony about booking a last-minute flight to Taiwan less than 14 days before the team left. This year was the complete opposite. And I committed to going to Taiwan, even though my work situation was very unstable. My boss, who you may remember, was the one who let me go to Taiwan last year, ended up leaving in January, and another coworker in my department announced that she was leaving in May. So this left two of us in our department to do all of the work. Nonetheless, I knew that if God wanted me to go to Taiwan, he would take care of all the details, so I didn't worry. To make a long story short, this is probably a six-month story, right? To make it very short, this past June, I started a new job at Trinity College. And after 6 days at my new job, I decided to take 12 days off to go to Taiwan. You may be thinking to yourself, wow, Karen really wants to lose her new job, right? Putting in no time and taking off more vacation time. But in God's perfect ways, I ended up joining my old boss at Trinity College. And even though I hadn't earned the time yet, he still let me go. He knew how important Taiwan mission was to me, and he let me go with no problem. So for the first time in our 11 trips, we decided to host 3 English camps back to back with very little rest time in between each one of them. From our past trips, I knew how tired I would be going into the first camp and then going into the second camp right away, but I would have never imagined adding a third trip on top of that. So on the flight over to Taiwan, I kept thinking to myself, different strategies to save energy. What if we sing the slower songs? So sing less wake, less one way, more of the easier songs, right? Okay. Or what if I take a nap when the kids are taking a nap? Or what if I sit during some of the activities and don't participate, right? All of these thoughts were running through my head as I tried to find a solution to make sure I had enough strength and enough voice to make it through 3 camps. So the evening before our first camp in Taipei, I could still feel the jet lag, and I wondered to myself, what should I do? Should I spend 25% energy in Taipei, 25% in Hengchun, and then the last 50 maybe in Kaohsiung, right? But right as I thought this, I heard God say to me, Karen, why are you here? If you wanted to be comfortable, you could have just stayed at home. In that moment, I was convicted of 2 things. 1, what was my motive for coming to Taiwan? Was it to see children be saved? If so, then I needed to be 100% committed to each camp. If you've ever worked with children before, you'll know that you can't fake it with them. Okay? If you aren't excited, don't expect them to be excited. If you aren't jumping up and down like crazy like in those videos, then those children will not respond in any way. Don't expect them to sing or dance with you. If I wanted these children to encounter our mighty God, then I need to be 100% committed to serving and loving on these children. 2, God doesn't specifically need me to accomplish his mission. I could be at home resting or at my job, and he would have sent someone else to do his work. When I really think about it, it's really amazing that God wants to work with me to show his glory. God hasn't called us to be comfortable in the mission field, but he calls us to be obedient and to trust that he will meet all of our needs. I was more focused on my own strength rather than trusting that God would provide. Once I was able to put aside all of these worries, I felt so much more freedom and knew that God would renew my strength every single morning. From seeing Wake and One Way over 15 times in 2 weeks, to staying up late to make these slideshow videos, God met me where my knees were, and I was able to keep my voice throughout all three camps. Lastly, I wanted to share something that really touched my heart this year. As a lot of us have shared in the past, we always see familiar faces at all of our camps, whether that's returning campers or campers who become helpers. It is like seeing old friends where we get to pick up where we left off and share our lives with each other, catch up on the things that have happened in the past year or two, and just be able to become closer to each other. For our third camp this year, we returned to Kaohsiung Bread of Life, where we last served in 2013. Due to the construction of their brand new building, which you guys saw with the elevators and escalators, we didn't host a camp there for 5 years. And before going, it didn't really occur to me how long 5 years really is. So on the morning of the first day of camp, I could see a few of the older students looking at me intensely. Okay, but sometimes I know I look a little bit intimidating, so I wasn't sure if they wanted to talk to me or just kind of afraid of me. So with all camps, most kids are very quiet during the first morning. But once lunchtime hits, it's like everyone breaks out of their shell. So on that first afternoon, as I'm eating lunch, I feel someone tap me on the shoulder. Okay, and so in the video you guys saw, we're all sitting at these smaller tables, right? And I'm sitting with my group. So I'm sitting with all of my students. And I feel someone tap me from behind. And it's one of these girls that was staring at me that morning. And she was in one of the older classes. Once again, she's staring at me like I should recognize her. And I'm like, hi, do you need something? And she tells me that she was actually in my class in 2013. Whoa, so 5 years ago, she was a student in my classroom. And then another girl appears next to her, and she was actually Tiffany's helper this year. And she said that she had been in my class too in 2012. I then just start find other kids that I taught, and some campers and helpers as well. Okay, so all of these kids within 5 years have grown up to either be, I used to teach some of the youngest kids, and now they're in the oldest class, or a lot of them have come back to become helpers. So after 5 years, it never occurred to me that I would see any of these children and some who are now young adults again. Most of the time, they become too old for the camp and go off to high school or college. To see these kids again and see them growing and walking their lives with Christ was such a big blessing for me and truly touched my heart. In our 2012 and 2013 camps, the Kaohsiung camp coordinators gave each student a printed copy of their class photo. So each kid got to take home, you know, a picture of their teachers and all the other kids in their group. And one of our helpers has kept it on her mirror ever since she was given the picture. Okay, and in the picture, she showed me standing next to her, which was the craziest thing. I like didn't even recognize her at all. Okay, for us, it might be 2 weeks out of our summer where we get to spend in another country and teach a topic that we're experts in. But I can truly see how God has provided us with the opportunity to make a lifelong impact. During our final coworker meeting in Kaohsiung, we all sat around the room with our 40-plus Taiwan coworkers and shared what we learned and what had impacted us the most. One helper shared that 5 years ago, as a camper, she saw us on stage leading worship passionately and thought to herself, one day I want to be on that stage with them. And I want to be able to sing and dance like them. That very morning, that last day of camp, her prayer had already been answered. She had helped us lead worship. She actually wrote me a note afterwards and said, I want to tell you, I was so touched 5 years ago. I so love worship that I still remember the feeling I had as a kid. And I'm so excited to experience it again. I never thought I would see it again. God is so good. Another one of our helpers, who was also a camper, also wrote to me, thank God for sending you here again. When I saw the pictures of the camps before, it feels like you guys are sending blessings to us from one generation to another, which really touched me. I believe God will bless you more than we can imagine. Hope that I can see you again so we can work together to win this next generation. When God asked me, well, Karen, why are you here? I thought I had a pretty good idea, a very godly idea. But God knew the greater purpose of this trip. Oftentimes, we don't get to see all the seeds that we plant grow. We don't know what these children are doing in their walks with God and or if they've left the church, okay, which can be very sad and sometimes discouraging. However, just seeing some of our campers and seeing how they have grown, and some as now worship leaders in the children's church or youth cell group leaders, I know that as long as we continue to do God's work and plant the seeds, I will continue to trust that God will take care of his sheep and tend to his people. Thank you all for your prayer and support.
Thank you. Yeah, it's really touching. Yeah. 可以知道，虽然有时候我们觉得我们只是两个礼拜时间、三个礼拜时间，但是其实有很多的孩子受到感动，而且渴望能够成为这样子的敬拜神。Amen. 接下来，也是参加11年的哈，Tiffany， 我的另外一个女儿，她是从我们一开始就去，她以前呢是最小的一个，但是现在呢。 不是更小，但是他带领，他每次都带最小班的哈，因为最小班的很多时候真的也学不到什么英文，但是最好班的最难带，需要最多的力气啊。我们让他来分享。Hi,
my name is Tiffany. So this year is my 11th year going on Taiwan mission trip. And you would think that after going for so many years that nothing would be surprising or challenging, but every year just keeps bringing more unique surprises. So for this trip, it was our first time doing 3 camps back to back. It was our first time working with this group in California. It was our first time having 17 people on this trip. There were so many new variables that it was difficult to think that all of our past experiences had prepared us for this. So this turned this mission into a new challenge where we really needed God's help every step of the way. Teaching in Taipei was the first hurdle for our team, since almost half our team was new to teaching. We had to hope that the people that we assigned to and the age group that they had, that everything was okay. With the skits, we had to make all the props from scratch, and we had to run through the skits for up to 2 hours every night before, since it was our first time performing together. Our sound and tech team, James and Isaiah, they were very flexible, and they were also very fast learners because we wouldn't know what our sound or tech would look like until we got there the day of. So they had to like learn really fast and know what to do. Even with all of our training that we did here in the church, it was still a gamble to throw everyone in the camp hoping that we could all work together. But at the end of the first day of camp, I breathed a sigh of relief because it seemed like our test trial was over and that God had really blessed us with how smooth our camp went. As for teaching, I worked with Esther. We took care of the youngest group. We are called the Apple Starfish. Now, the youngest group is not hard to teach because they usually don't remember anything. But they are the hardest to take care of because you need a lot of energy. You need a lot of patience. And luckily for me, Esther also has a really loud voice, which is very important for later. We taught in the nursery, which was very distracting to begin with because there's large windows for everyone to look in and they look out. It's covered in all play mats, so all the kids are always like rolling around on the floor. And they got distracted very easily. So it was hard to get their attention in class, and it was very hard for them to get interested until we started writing on the boards and we started incorporating new words for them to learn and doing activities or playing Da Feng Cui. And I knew that these children probably wouldn't take away that much English from this camp, but or even learn that many of the Bible verses because it might be too hard. But I think for this area, most importantly, was that to make sure they received the love of God and that they could understand the message that we were trying to convey in our skits. So for children who grew up in disadvantaged backgrounds or with families that suffer from illnesses, the message that God can heal the lame or feed 5,000, cast out demons, and even conquer death is a powerful one. That is why it was so amazing to see God at work during the altar call. As you could see in the video, the prayer lines were really, really long, and it was during nap time, and all my kids are like, I can't sleep right now. I have to go get prayer. So at that moment, I did feel like we were making a difference in Taipei and that God could continue to work in the lives of these children. Now, when we moved into Huncun, Esther and I found ourselves in a similar situation. We're teaching in a nursery room with lots of windows. There were toys everywhere. There was a slide. And these kids were a lot younger. It was harder to keep their attention. They also couldn't write in English. They also couldn't really write in Chinese. So most of our activities were lost on them. We were very lucky to have our helper. Her name was Melody. She actually taught an English school next to the church called Melody's English School. And so she was very experienced with younger children and also how to teach English. So she taught us techniques like you can search up pictures so they know what to look at. Or, and we were talking about winter clothing, she was like, you can look up Frozen. They all know Frozen. We can start singing Frozen songs. This is also the first year for that church that they asked us to teach Sunday school as well, to encourage the children to come to church before for Sunday school, and then afterwards we go to the aquarium together. So I asked Melody how they usually handled Sunday school, and she said, oh, it should be no worry. There's only like 2 to 3 shell baby, huijinglai. And I was like, oh, okay. And they also didn't expect all of the children to come from the camp anyways. They would just come afternoon for the aquarium. So I was very surprised to be in that small nursery with all of my students and like 3 or 4 other small babies in the room, and we're all stuck in that room for like 3 hours. I don't think I would have survived without Melody, because as soon as all the kids started losing interest in the VeggieTales, she would take out some Bible stories and start teaching all of them, because she had children for herself, so she knew how to take care of them. So this brought me back to the reason why teaching in Hunchun is so special for me. After teaching here for so long, all of them become part of my family. It makes me so happy to see families of children that come after year after year after teaching them. I remember teaching older students like Angel when they were in the youngest group, and now she's grown up to be in like the third group, and I teach her younger brother, King. Or I remember there was one student from 4 or 5 years ago. I remember him because he was a troublemaker, and he didn't really listen. And this year, he came back as a helper. So I thought that was really surprising. And seeing these children growing up and maturing in Christ in the church gives me reason to come back every year. And from Hunchun, I learned the long-term impact of how God can shape these children's families by bringing them closer to him and making the church their homes as well. So going from Hunchun to Kaohsiung was a complete 180-degree change. We went from going from a poor area to a very bustling city, from a small church to a booming church with elevators and escalators, and a place that we've been for every single year for 10 years to a place that we haven't taught in 5 years. Whereas in Taipei and Hunchun, we struggled a lot with technical issues, with the sound and the audio and the visuals. We were trying to grapple it with like pressing whatever buttons that we could. In Kaohsiung, we didn't want to touch their sound system because it looked too expensive. They actually had their own team that was like specifically just for them so that we didn't have to touch it. And Kaohsiung, it seemed like the most ideal place to hold a camp. They have a perfect facilities, classrooms, air conditioning, clean bathrooms. They have desks and boards. But here, I ran into different challenges, or more like I stepped in one first. So before the camp had even started, my student had thrown up, and I stepped in it. And I thought, wow, what a great way to start this camp. Now I have dirty socks, and my student is going home because he's sick. So I don't know if I'll ever see him again. But that wasn't actually the biggest problem. The biggest challenge for me was not being able to speak. So at the end of Hunchun camp, by the time we arrived in Kaohsiung, I didn't have a voice. My voice was like coming out and like... so most of the time I would sing with Karen for Making Melodies or Deep Deep Woe, but I couldn't do that either. I don't think you would want to hear me sing. And the hardest part was that my students couldn't hear me unless they had to bend over and like hear me talk really close. So I couldn't like yell, I couldn't say anything really. So at that time, I depended a lot on James and Esther to be able to teach the English class. All I could really do was just like go on my computer and show them pictures or act out things. The hardest part was probably during group chant, because we can't make a group chant if you can't talk. So we ended up being able to do it afterwards on the third day, on the last day when my voice came back. But most importantly, I thank God for my helpers because they were very hardworking and passionate. Not just my helpers, I think all of the volunteers from their youth ministry helped with that camp and had great morale and worked in one heart. And it was really moving to see how much they loved and supported us throughout the camp. So it was a very strange coincidence. Karen already talked about it. So one of my helpers, she was in the 2013 camp. She was in group 9. She was telling She was telling me, she was like, oh, I was here back in 2013. My leader was the 很帅哥, the 那个. Do you remember him? I was like, oh, you mean Sydney? So that she came back and she was helping my group. One of my helpers was also Karen's student from group 4 in 2012. And then my other helper was the sister of my helper in 2013. So I sort of already knew everyone, I guess. And seeing how they conducted themselves in their own youth and the children's ministry was very inspiring for what we can do for our church and children's ministry as well. I think that the mission of teaching in Kaohsiung was very different from the other two camps because they're not from low-income areas. They don't have a lack of access to English resources. So I think I learned more from teaching them than they could from me. I saw how strong and transformative children's and youth ministry can be in a church, and not to underestimate the potential that children and youth can have in God's church. Although we faced many hardships this year, I thank God for showing me how blessed we were the years before and being grateful for all the opportunities to grow for each and every person. I see this year as a sign and a test if God can let our missions team grow and if we can develop stronger leaders. Thank you to everyone in the church for supporting us through fundraisers and through prayers. And most importantly, thank you, God, for giving us the opportunity to carry out your Great Commission in Taiwan. Thank you.
OK, 现在我们就邀请第二次去的是 Ruthie 张，好吗？ Ruthie 在哪里？ Ruthie is not here?后面OK。他的见证写得很长哈，看看他可不可以说的，他是最认真写的一个，写的四整页啊，写得非常的 detail， 但是也非常的帮助很多的孩子。来。
Hi everyone, my name is Ruthie Zhang and.This year was my second time going on the Taiwan mission trip, and I didn't really have any expectations because even though I went last year, a lot of the things I know would be different and not the same as I had experienced before. And I feel that as though by the end of this trip, I was able to learn a lot more about being part of a mission team and what it meant for both us and the kids. One major difference between this year and last year was thatInstead of just holding two camps, as we did in 2017, this time we held three, and we did it in the same time frame as before. And that meant after one camp, we would be immediately packed and ready to go to the next place the next day, or even the same day, and be ready to start our next camp right after. After every day at each camp, a lot of us would be really tired, and our voices would be too. And quickly transitioning to a new camp at a new location was a lot different than my experience last year, but in a good way.I really enjoyed the opportunity to be able to teach at three camps with both our church and the California church and the workers in Taiwan. It was amazing to meet so many enthusiastic children and helpers who I will still remember even though my time with them is over and I may not see them again. I love being able to come up with new names and chants for every group I had, hear Forever Family in one way over and over for the thousandth times, and have the opportunity to get to know each and every child and see their personalities come through over the course of just a few days.One thing that still always surprises me is the kids' enthusiasm and energy for almost everything they do during the camps. During worship, many of them would sing as much as they could, even though they might have not known what the words were, and they tried to do all the movements. They would pay attention to all the skits and what every character said in hopes of answering a question right later and getting American candy. During game time, you could see all the kids having fun and eagerly running around to find their next rock, paper, scissor opponent, or yelling out their group's fruit or vegetable name or some other type of crazy game which no one would want to stop playing. And Hunch and my group of kids were even fascinated by a simple hand clapping game and would always want to play it. Many of the kids were just filled with so much liveliness and energy during every single thing, and they always wanted to do something. The kids' energy still could not be contained during nap time when some would still be restless and many would easily get distracted during English class. I think that the only time...The kids would all sit still and be absorbed in what they did was during lunchtime, and these kids were constantly hungry because one of my Taipei kids managed to eat almost 6 large baozi. And English class is probably the time where many of them were not as enthusiastic as they were during the different activities. As a kid in their summer vacation, they probably didn't have much interest in sitting down trying to learn English, which I can relate to. And throughout the three camps, all of the kids I taught were around 8 to 11 years old. It was sometimes difficult to make sure they were all paying attention and were not getting distracted by other things. One thing I struggled with the most during teaching was making sure that since all the kids would finish everything at a different pace, some of them would finish the whole book and be bored and distract the other kids. Well, the other ones would not really know how to do them, and us teachers would go next to them and help them finish. And this caused like a lot of distractions with the other kids, and some just didn't want to fill in their books at all, and we would try and convince them and help them to do so. It was overall just hard to keep all the kids busy since they all worked at such different paces and had different prior knowledges about English. We were still able to get every kid to at least finish most of their workbook exercise and learn something. Even though the kids weren't always totally engaged in English class, many participated when I wanted them to and tried to do their best, which was most important. Another thing I noticed this year on Taiwan mission trip was just how interested all the kids were about our lives. Last year when I interacted with them, I just asked about their lives and their families and what they like to do. This year, whenever we learned about the department store and clothing for winter and summer, I would tell my kids about how much snow we get in Boston. The kids would be so amazed to learn that we get so much of it because they don't get any really, and how it can get so high. And I would tell them about how I could ski or sled down the snow and how school would be canceled because of it. This interested them even more, and all of them would ask me so many questions. Many of the kids wanted to then visit America and Boston, and some even asked if we could take them back with us. We just told them to study hard and maybe they'll end up coming to the U.S. I remember having conversation with also multiple of my kids in Kaohsiung just about how similar different Taiwan and America were, and they wanted to know what cool things were in America. The kids were just so curious about my life, which is completely different from theirs, and where they lived. One reason I just love teaching at the camps in Taiwan is I get to see so many kids who come from different backgrounds, and I learn about their lives and how differently they may live. And there is even a difference in the camps, such as in a more wealthy city like Kaohsiung and a poor area like Hengshun. It just makes me realize how big our world is and how different every place is, and how grateful I am to live where I am and have the opportunities that God has given me to travel across the globe and meet all these wonderful children. It is amazing to be able to touch their lives while doing His work and spreading His love to all of them, no matter what their backgrounds are or what they may be dealing with within their own lives. Throughout this trip, I have learned a lot. I learned that kids all love the song One Way, that we needed to help them each learn at their own pace, and I even learned how to say some words in Taiyu, thanks to my Hengshun kids. Most importantly, though, I've learned our purpose and our mission to serve God and the power of our team to do so. Although there might have been some challenges along the way, I now know that the purpose of our mission team is not just to teach the children English or to have fun and play with them, but to lead them to Jesus and show them His almighty power and unconditional love for us. During the worship songs we sang every day, although they were in English, using the translations, the kids were able to learn what the lyrics meant and could praise God. And they also learned about His works and His power in the skits that told various Bible stories. Through memory verses, they learned that believing in Jesus and declaring that He is Lord, they could be saved. Every time that we prayed over our food or at the end of the day or over anything, you could see all the kids bowing their heads in concentration and focusing on what they were saying. Some of the kids at the camps already knew God or knew of Him, while some did not. I really hope that throughout our camps we were able to fulfill some mission and bring as many of them as we could to Christ. On the days in Taipei and Kaohsiung, when the pastor prayed for all those children who wished to do so, I specifically remember seeing all the long lines of kids in Taipei just sitting and waiting for their turn. When the time came, although I did not hear what they said, they were also concentrated, and some left the prayer crying, and I feel as though they had been touched by God's love and were brought closer to Him. It was truly amazing to see all these children come forward by themselves willingly at their young ages. I also remember that every single camp, for the last worship songs, I went on stage, and every single time, the kids would be all so loud and excited and would sing at the top of their lungs and do as many hand motions as possible. I can clearly remember being on stage just taking in these moments where every single person in the room would be singing the same words and be so passionate about praising God and be full of energy and joy even though it was the end of the last day. In general, I think one of the difficulties during each camp for me, besides the fact that they could be exhausting, was the English-Chinese language barrier. Although I could say I'm generally pretty fluent in Chinese, kind of, I still sometimes had trouble trying to figure out the right word to say or how to say it. And when engaging in conversations with the kids, I didn't always say what I want to because I didn't know the words or I couldn't always fully understand them. Luckily, I had some amazing helpers who tried to assist me in every way possible. I thank God so much for blessing me with amazing helpers throughout all three camps, where I had no issues at all with any of them, and they were all just so friendly and eager to help me. My helpers in Taipei were great at controlling the kids and keeping them focused on their English, while my Hunshin helpers worked with those kids who were struggling in English class and made sure they all stayed with us at the aquarium. I'm also just so grateful for my Kaohsiung helpers, for they were closer in age to me and the kids and were able to interact with them as well. They were just so friendly towards me and happy to help with anything. The Kaohsiung helpers, all of them, were just so welcoming to our mission team. They would always greet us with a smile and make us feel like we were part of their family. I remember the last day of camp, they wouldn't stop waving to us even when we walked out of the doors and into our taxis, and it just brightened my day and made me smile. During the youth service in their church the next day, they waited for us and brought us in with them and were always there to help us. I remember my helper sat right next to me and pulled up the English translation of the Bible verses on her phone just so that we could read them as well. Overall, their infectious personalities and how welcome they made us feel was a big blessing, and we could just feel God's love in them and in the way they treated us, and I will always be so, so thankful for them. I'm also very grateful for the hospitality of everybody we met during the trip and how all the different camps would make sure we had everything we needed and we could just feel their kindness. The love we received during Taiwan mission trip this year from the kids, the helpers, different camps, and God is just unforgettable. It is so rewarding to see the kids grow over just the few short days we had with them and get to know Jesus. Being able to work with them and see them learn and interact is amazing to witness. Many of the kids I was able to build bonds with, and although I most likely will not see them again, I hope that I was able to make an impact in their lives, for they have in mine. I have learned many things throughout this mission trip that I will always remember, and I feel as though I have strengthened my relationship with Christ through what I have learned. I will always treasure my experience in Taiwan and am forever grateful for all the opportunities I've been given, and I hope that God will continue to open doors for me to serve and learn. Thank you.
OK， 接下来四位都是第一次去的哈，其他有四位不在我们当中哈，所以呢，他们就我们就不会让他们分享。其他四位都比较短哈，我也让他们一起来分享。第一位是 James Pan， 哇，好好，其他的可不可以坐到前面来好吗 ？In order to save time, all other team member please sit at the first front row. OK.
Hello, my name is James, and today I would like to share what I've learned from the Taiwan mission trip. In the very beginning of the trip, even before we had arrived in Taiwan, I was nervous. I was worried about not being able to fluently speak in Mandarin. I was worried that the kids might not respect me. I was worried about not being able to bring the kids to Jesus, and I was worried that I would mess up. Then I did what my dad always tells me to do. I prayed.I wasn't sure if God had answered my prayer until the first day of the Taipei camp. Let me tell you all one thing. If you pray to God, asking Him to help you spread the love of Jesus, then God will answer. God took care of all my anxieties. He gave me a helper who spoke English fairly well. He put kids into my group who respected me and listened when I talked to them. And as for messing up, I didn't. After the Taipei camp, we traveled south to Hung Chuen.I was feeling pretty confident in myself, and I didn't pray when we went to Hung Chuen. As a result, things were not as good for me as it had been in Taipei. The first day of camp was a struggle for me. I was expecting the kids to listen to me and do what I asked of them, and when they took longer than 2 minutes to settle down, I thought, man, what is wrong with these kids? It wasn't until after the first day of camp was over that I realized that there was nothing wrong with these kids. What was wrong, however,was my mindset. I asked God to fix my mindset, to give me all I need to know to teach the kids English and about Jesus, and the second and third day of camp were much better for me. From the Hung Chuen camp, I learned a few things. I learned that you need to keep an open mind, that you can't be hasty to assume things. You have to be careful about what you say to children, because one word can affect their lives forever. Lastly, you must be patient with them. Getting angry doesn't help a child learn or grow. Our last camp, Kaohsiung, was almost as much fun as the Taipei camp. Reason? I prayed. Moving on. For this camp, I was placed in charge of the second youngest group. I usually taught the 8 to 10-year-olds, but this camp, I taught the 5 to 6-year-olds. It was a very different experience. I didn't really learn anything at this camp, but I was able to practice things I learned from the previous camps here. I went on the Taiwan mission trip to practice teaching the Word of God, so that when I grow up, I can spread the gospel and save those who haven't been saved yet. This first time in the Taiwan mission trip was a success for me, mainly because of God and the team members. It was great working as a team. For worship, the girls took the stage, which was good for me because I don't like being on stage. And I'm not a very good dancer. Isaiah and I were allowed to do worship slides and songs, which was really fun. Teaching was also made easy because if you're unsure about something, you just have to ask another team member about it, and boom, problem solved. The mission trip was a very good experience for me, and I wish they keep having more experiences like it. More experiences like it.
Thank you. Yeah, 看他平常在教会里面好像不太讲话，去到那里还很受欢迎的，很有人气，小孩都喜欢跟着他跑。接下来我们请 Esther Mao。
Hi, I'm Esther, and this year was my first time going on the Taiwan mission trip. I was so blessed to be able to work with all of the wonderful kids and have really great helpers across all three camps. The entire mission trip was an incredible learning experience that was deeply rewarding and allowed me to get closer to God. Taipei was the first city we went to. Tiffany and I taught the youngest group. I was really nervous on the first day that my Chinese would be hard to understand. Fortunately, my helpers were very friendly and made the entire process smooth and easy to go through. On the first day, the kids were more on the shy and quiet side, but by the second day, all of them had opened up immensely and were a lot more enthusiastic about speaking up in class. Despite the fact that I was a little spooked and intimidated on the first day, by the last day, I had become quite fond of all of my kids and didn't want to leave. And the next city we went to was Hunchun. Again, Tiffany and I taught the youngest group. The kids and my helper pleasantly surprised me with their energy and enthusiasm on the first day. They were very well behaved despite being in a room that was filled with tempting toys, and the kids never failed to put a smile on my face. My helper named Melody was incredibly helpful with translations. Her assertiveness with the kids was especially helpful when we were trying to get the class under control. The third city we went to was Kaohsiung. This time, James, Tiffany, and I taught the youngest group. The kids in Kaohsiung were really smart, and their understanding of the content made teaching an enjoyable experience that left me greatly impressed with how quickly the kids could pick up the material. All the helpers in Kaohsiung had so much energy that was very contagious. They were loud and fun and contributed a great deal when it came to handling the misbehaving kids. One of the learning activities that we did was about family, and the kids had to draw who was in their family. I was helping one of my kids named Jason when I learned that his parents abandoned him before he was a year old. His grandmother had raised him. Later that night, most of the kids had already left to ride the bus home, which left 10 minutes earlier than when the camp officially ended. When Jason saw that most of the kids were gone, he turned towards me and asked, "Where's my grandma? She won't be leaving me too, will she? Will she leave me like my mom and dad did?" Hearing those words come out of his mouth broke my heart. To think that a little 7-year-old was worried about his own grandmother abandoning him left me beyond sad. Hearing his story made me pray that he would come to know God's love and never have to experience the fear of being left behind ever again. Another child that stood out to me was a little girl named Angel. She was always arguing and fighting with another kid or clinging to the teachers or the helpers. At the end of the second day, her mom had come early to pick her up at the beginning of dinner. Angel had her water bottle in one hand and her silver in the other and came running into the room where her mother was waiting for her. Angel accidentally dropped her water bottle and almost immediately received a firm slap on the head and a scolding from her mom. I was already uneasy after watching the first incident, but the scolding only got worse and worse as dinner progressed. Her mother stood right behind her, and every couple of minutes, she would smack her on the head and tell her to stop wasting time and finish eating. I felt so distressed watching a little girl be treated by her own mother that way. Watching this happen, it suddenly dawns upon me that the reason Angel was always clinging to the teachers was that she was searching for attention and love from someone else because she didn't have that at home. As I watched her mother yell at her, I felt incredibly guilty for not giving her as much attention and affection, knowing that she didn't feel her mother's love very often. Working with Jason and Angel allowed me to realize that the reason we go on Taiwan Mission is to teach English, but more importantly, to spread the gospel and help kids become touched by God's love. Whether it be through the kids opening up so much through worship or during English class time, I could see that God had begun to work in their lives and hearts. I hope that they will remember their experiences at the camps and that the camps are only a beginning to their journey to getting to know God.
Thank you. 好，接下来我们请 Natalie。
Hey everyone, I'm Natalie. Okay, so my piece is titled Little Blessings. As the children of Taipei came rushing through the back door of the worship room, I braced myself for the second and third graders sprinting to find my group, group five. They each lined up to get their name tags, a yellow paper that would stick against their colorful t-shirts. I went around to each child, asking for their English names and what they like to do, my way of attempting to get to know them before our learning adventure. The nervousness of being a first-time English teacher quickly dissipated as I saw their wide grins and open arms. However, regardless of my subtle confidence, I had underestimated how difficult teaching would actually be. There were no tables or chairs in the worship room, and all the kids worked on the floor. This layout was unorganized for group teaching, especially since all the exercises required us to go to each student and check over their work. The next day, Pastor Jocelyn and I came up with an idea of seating them at tables with chairs in a horseshoe shape. This proved to not only make teaching much easier and more effective, but also the class was able to run smoothly and finish on time. These types of problem and solution situations occurred several times during the Taiwan mission trip. I was able to grow as a teacher as well as a person through all the learning opportunities in Taipei, Hengqin, and Kaohsiung. During the mission, I was assigned to three different age groups. I had second and third graders in Taipei, middle schoolers in Hengqin, and sixth graders in Kaohsiung. I learned to adjust my teaching style to fit each age group, coming up with new ways to make certain games more appealing. A big part of being a teacher was also one-on-one work with my students. Early on in the camp, I had realized that not all my students learned English at the same rate. This immediately prompted me to focus on the clear repetition of material and to have unwavering patience at all times. There are moments I thought about how smiles and words of encouragement could go a long way in easing their anxiety and frustration. Most of my students gradually opened up to me, showing their vulnerabilities and sharing interesting facts about themselves, their travel dreams, foods they like to eat, and family. Throughout the mission trip, I learned that a collection of small actions yield great rewards. At each camp I went to, my goal was to ensure that all my kids had an incredible camp experience filled with joyful memories, God's love, and the knowledge that church was always a safe space for them, like it was for me. Speaking of joyful memories, I gathered some of my own with the team at each camp. Working with the Taiwan mission team has been fruitful in every way, and I'm glad I was able to contribute to our strong teamwork. There are many times when I was appreciative of team members like Tiffany, Ruthie, and Melody, who were willing to help me on the choreography I struggled with. I realized that I didn't always have to resolve problems on my own or be anxious about messing up. Working with the team members gave me needed assurance and desire to self-improve. I enjoyed splitting up responsibilities at Hengqin with Kevin and Janet, as it was a refreshing way to expose myself to other diverse methods of teaching the same material. I was able to work with them to come up with the best formula to teach our students collectively, and this was something I wouldn't have experienced if I wasn't part of the team. I'm forever grateful that I was able to serve God on this trip and to spread his love to the children of Taipei, Hengqin, and Kaohsiung. I did this while being with wonderful people who had impeccable organization and great leadership. I can wholeheartedly say that this mission trip was one of the most memorable experiences of my life, and I hope to do it again in the future. God bless everyone, and thank you so much.
很好，然后接下来请Isaiah Lee来分享他的见证。Hello.
Hi. My name is Isaiah Lee. This was the first time I participated in the Taiwan mission trip. In those few eye-opening weeks, I was inevitably met by various challenges, namely children. I had no experience whatsoever with young children prior to this trip, so much so that everything about them, their behavior, their preferences, their way of life, seemed quite alien. The fact that I am a single child only furthered the awkwardness around them. In addition to my diminished ability to interact, I was also poor in Chinese. I could understand the language perfectly well and speak it to some degree, but I was clueless when it came to reading. Oftentimes, I found myself relying on my group helpers who were great in helping me cross the gap in communication. My lack of experience did not faze me, however, as I understood God stood by my side. I trusted that he could help me through the experience. During the trip, I learned the valuable lessons of patience. Students can only learn well if a teacher is patient, especially when the students are very young. You can't just ignore a second grader who struggles on the material and move on. You have to offer just enough of your aid so that they can understand. And when their attention wanders off, you have to have the patience to redirect their attention to the lesson. I found that patience did not only find a place in teaching, it finds a place in living life. After all, it is one of the 9 fruits of the Spirit. It comes handy in many situations. It can slow anger, it can ease the struggle of learning, and it can enable one to deal with a wide range of people. As patience is important, so is teamwork. In the camps that we taught at, the teachers would work as a group. And when working in a group, we had to learn to collaborate our efforts. I had a great time teaching together. Overall, this year's Taiwan mission trip was a wonderful experience for me. I learned a lot from Taiwan's diverse culture and unique people. Although it was difficult to communicate and connect with the kids at first, it went easier as time went on. I learned the importance of patience and how it was to work together as a team. I wish to be on this amazing journey once again. Thank you.
好，所以我们看见这些孩子们，勇敢的做见证，而且也看到他们所学的功课，是不是真的？我们每一次看见哦，他们去了以后，其实他们自己得到最多，因为当他们付出的时候，而且他们看到孩子的改变。而且看到神竟然能够使用他们，能够来把神的爱带给这些孩子，他们都不能想象他们竟然能够看到神在当中做工。所以我相信他们他们的生命也不会再一样。所以我真的鼓励我们还有好多的机会参加短宣，我都鼓励你参与啊。下个礼拜当然吉尔吉斯，我们在这个年底之前应该还会派一队到缅甸，因为我们那边有接下来有几个分堂成立，目前大概有5个分堂哈，我8月去的时候就会成立，接下来还有他们本来说现在变本来说是12个，现在变17个哈，所以呢我们就要去把这些所有的 paperwork 弄好。那么在那边呢也有孤儿院，我们有50几个，在那个有一个教会里面有50几个，所以我们都很需要去。我们捐赠了很多衣物钱财，还有一些他们的需要，我们都可以带过去。所以我鼓励你赶快报名哈，如果想要参加的，我都鼓励你来参加，好不好？我们就一起起立，来祷告，求主来使用你在这个你的一生里面我们不是白白过，而是我们要为主而活。 Amen。 求主来使用我们，成为他流通的管道，好不好？我们就用1分钟来为自己祷告，求主如何怎么样使用这些年轻人，也相信神可以使用我们。 If God can use this youth to spread gospel, I do believe that God can use any of us can be his vessel of blessing. Because 神看我们是耶和华大能的军队，他要兴起我们为他来发光，做荣耀的见证。求主使用我们每一位，成为他在耶和华的军队里面，他就是我们的元帅，我们就是他的军队。 Amen。 让我们一起来唱这首诗歌来回应。
我们是耶和华大能的军队，真理来束腰，心的是藤牌。我们是耶和华大能的军队，救恩是头盔，有神灵宝剑，带着属灵印记，满有能力，带着属天权柄，胜过一切仇敌，用信心行神迹。让我们心齐心齐为主来发光，快跑将福音传到万邦，心齐心齐为主来发光，同心为主高强。我们是耶和华大能的军队，真理来束腰，心的是藤牌。我们是耶和华大能的军队，救恩是头盔，有神灵宝剑，带着神灵印记，满有能力，带着属天权柄，胜过一切仇敌，用信心，
用信心，
行神迹，
来行神迹，
让我们心情心情会出来发光，快跑将福音传到万方，心情心情会出来发光，同心为主刚强，让我们心情心情会出来发光，快跑将福音传到万方，心情心情为主来发光，同心为主刚强，让我们心情心情为主来发光，快跑将福音传到万方，心情心情为主来发光，同心为主刚强，同心为主刚强，同心为主刚强。
主啊，是的，我们是要将福音传到地极，主啊，到我们没有去过的地方，在十四时的窗户的地方，许多未得之名，求主来高牧我们，愿圣灵的大能充满我们，使我们能够走到何处，在这个地区，在外地，都为主做荣耀的见证。求主听我们在你面前同心合一的祷告，也把今天所有一切的见证将荣耀归给耶稣，三位一体的真神，愿你得着当得的荣耀，愿你在我们当中掌权。主啊，建造你的教会，建造每一位肢体，愿耶稣基督的恩惠、天父上帝的慈爱、圣灵的感动和交通常与我们同在，直到世世代代、永永远远，直到我们见主的面。如此的感恩，奉耶稣基督的名求，阿门，哈利路亚。我们请祷告团队到前面来，我们默祷以后散会。